Nobody loves a trick question. And so I'll come right out of the chute with, is it Thessalonica or Thessalonica? All right. No, it's Thessalonica. But are you an Old Testament or a New Testament scholar? Well, some of us are, right? Some of us are, have studied, and are ordained. But is it important? Not something, it's not a hill I want to die on, you know? But another example that is often asked, and I'm not sure of the answer. Which came first, the chicken or the egg? In today's Holy Gospel, Jesus was being set up by people who wanted to place him in a corner between siding with those of the temple who opposed the oppression by the Romans or those who supported the Romans. Jesus' godly wisdom is demonstrated throughout the entire 22nd chapter of the Gospel of Matthew, handling questions to keep his opponents on their toes. By the way, this event is also reported in Luke chapter 20, verses 20 to 26, and Mark chapter 12, verses 13 to 17. It's really simple. If it appears in more than one of the Gospels, there should be no argument. Take it to the bank, because once is truth, twice is really true, and third or three times is really, really, really true. For example, holy, holy, holy. To say something is holy once is, okay, it's holy. To say it's holy, holy, yes, I agree. But to say it's holy, 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 get out of the way. It's the holiest. This one, in which the Pharisees put to Jesus, this trick question, had an obvious double edge. The issue of paying tax to the Roman emperor was one of the hottest topics in the Middle East in Jesus' day. And he's confronted by two groups, the Pharisees and the Herodians. Pharisees are all about the temple, the law, the kingdom of the Jews. And the Herodians are the ones who supported Herod, the king of the Galilee, and Perea, who was put in power by the Romans. They worked together only when it suited them best to get something. Testing Jesus' teaching here should not be a surprise at all. Jesus wasn't afraid. Now listen to these words. Jesus was not afraid to answer any question that was ever put to him. And he proved that here. If Jesus publicly takes the view of those who are called zealots, serving no king but God, the Herodians could have him arrested on the spot. If Jesus rejects that view, which is the case, he may compromise and weaken his following of disciples. Now the third choice, tell the people they don't have to pay taxes at all, then Jesus would have been put to death. The Pharisees and the Herodians' questions, therefore, was a loaded question that would mean big problems if Jesus said anything negative about taxes. Let's face it, the religious leaders had just one goal, to get rid of Jesus as fast as they could. They wanted Jesus of Nazareth dead. They would do this through any means possible, even if it meant cooperating with their lifelong enemies. The Pharisees were the legalists of the nation who opposed Rome and all the attempts by Rome to intrude into the Jewish way of life. The Herodians actively supported the rule of Herod and favored making changes at the time dictated by Rome. But those issues were less important to them than the pressing issue of getting rid of this Messiah, Jesus of Nazareth. So they sent a team of people to try to trick Jesus. It's important for us to understand that the area near Jerusalem circulated its own copper coins without the image of the emperor, which was totally offensive to Jewish tastes. but they were still considered Roman coins. Foreign coins, which bore the emperor's image and mentions his godly status, were also in circulation in the area where neither gold nor silver coins were permitted to be minted. The silver denarius, as we heard in the gospel, was probably minted in Lyon, was required coin to pay taxes in Judea and other places in the Roman Empire. And Jewish people had to use it whether they liked it or not. The issue of paying tax to the Roman emperor was one of the hottest topics in all of the Middle East during Jesus' day. So these clever questioners began by complimenting Jesus, and they were laying it on pretty thick, I must say, by saying, "Teacher, we know you're a man of integrity and that you teach the way of God in accordance with the truth. You aren't swayed by men because you pay no attention to who they are." Then they get to the carefully laid trap and ask Jesus, "Tell us then, what is your opinion? Is it right to pay taxes to Caesar or not?" The Pharisees' plan to entrap Jesus failed because Jesus aptly sidestepped the trap they forced on him. Jesus gave his disciples an example of how they could live as the people of God's kingdom, living in yet an imperfect world which was governed by secular authorities. Jesus spoke plainly when he told them that it is right to give to Caesar what is Caesar's. Jesus wasn't a zealot or a revolutionary looking to overthrow the Roman Empire. But at the same time, he did not put priority upon loyalty to the secular government. Loyalty to Caesar must always be seen in relationship to the full submission of yourself to God. The bottom line for the disciple of Jesus is to give to God the things that are his. To clearly define what belongs to God's, we need only look at Psalm 24. Ultimately, the answer is clear in Psalm 24, verse 1. "The earth is the Lord's, and all it contains, the world, and those who dwell in it." Well, now let's get back to the trap that was laid for Jesus. If Jesus opposed tribute to Rome, then he could have been arrested right away as a traitor. But if he favored tribute to Caesar, he'd lose the hearts of the Jews who despised their Roman oppressors, and they thought that the Messiah was going to come riding in on a white horse and he was going to obliterate their oppressors. Unfortunately, that was not the case, not yet. Jesus' reply shows that the true child of God has obligations both to God and to his country. While the image of Caesar was imprinted on the coin, the image of God was imprinted on the hearts of all mankind, because what does Scripture say? We are made in his image and likeness. Although distorted by sin, that image still was there and would become clearer through the coming sacrifice of Jesus. It was obvious that Jesus' questioners really did not believe in him. Their question was, is it right to pay taxes to Caesar or not? And their cleverly contrived question appeared to have no clear-cut answer. Which came first, the chicken or the egg? Have you ever been in a situation like that? You know the old question, do you still cheat on your taxes? No matter how you answer that, you're in trouble. If you say yes, IRS, hello. If you say no, it means that you did it at one time. You ever been asked a question like that? It's pure hypocrisy. And Jesus was aware of the hypocrisy in their approach and also the implications that his answer would have. And so he answered their question by showing that government does have a rightful place in everyone's life and that you can be in subjection to government and God at the same time. Where does your heart lie? It's said that look at your checkbook and you can see where your heart lies. Jesus asked them to show him a denarius, the tribute coin, and they'd show that they themselves are carrying their hated currency, despite the fact that Jews were not allowed to put images of human faces on their coins. Jesus has them right where he wants them. Caesar's face was stamped on the coin, and surrounding him was this message: Tiberius Caesar Augustus, son of the divine Augustus, or son of God, high priest. Seriously, how could any good Jew happily carry something like that around in your pouch? Talk about hypocrisy. The Lord tests the righteous and the wicked, and the one who loves violence, his soul hates. That's in Psalm 11, verse 5. Testing gives us a clear opportunity to grow with God's help. There's nothing on the face of this good earth that we can do by ourselves. We don't have the power or the strength, or the will for that matter. He tests both the righteous and the wicked. For some, God's tests become like a refining fire, while for others, they become an incinerator for destruction. We are not to ignore or defy the tests and challenges that come our way, but instead we can use them as opportunities to grow. And we shouldn't miss the opportunity to ask for God's help. How many times have I stood here and told you or reminded you that one of the most powerful prayers is, "Help me, Jesus." Trusting in God and his care for us. Let's face it, there are things in our lives that can scare the dickens out of us. Like when the results of a test come back and they say that there's something there. But what do? We should get on our knees, knowing that God will use all things for good. And the only thing that we can do is put our trust in him. Help me, Jesus. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.